Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother James, noparish.com, John 4:24 Radio. How you doing today? We're having a great day serving God. Gave us another day. Let's be thankful for it. Today, I want to talk about fathers provoke not children to wrath. Fathers provoke not children to wrath. You know, in keeping with our love, concern, and desire to help godly families that we know of, and everyone else we don't know of, if we can help them online, we got a question asked from a dear saint about this topic. Let's look at the scripture reference for this. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All right, so let's get right into this, and we'll use some other scriptures. We'll bring them into play. I think a key concept, just to lay some understanding to this topic, is let's all remember the goal of parenting is to train up godly adults who respect and honor authority and the purpose of authority, not to raise up children that are angry about wrongful discipline that they resent. Let's just keep that in mind. What's the goal here? The goal here is not to be authoritative with a whole bunch of laws and rules and create perfect children by whipping them into shape. No, the goal is to train up young adults that love God, love authority, or love His authority, and have a right heart for it. We all hear the stories, I'm sure you had, about fathers who can be mean-spirited, mean physically, and they produce bitter children that have anger issues. That's what this is all about. I can give you a testimony. My own father told me, he grew up in the Depression, he told me that his father would reach across the table and slap you right in the face in front of everyone in the family if you just spilt your milk. Do you think that could make you angry and make you have wrath inside you? Yeah, my dad had a temper, and I'm sure it was rooted in him all the way from his father and his incorrect, ungodly discipline. No, God has a better way. 1 Thess 2:10-12. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we have behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I like that. What an awesome verse. We want to treat everyone that way as a father does with his children. So let's move on. We're going to look at the root words involved in this verse. It's going to help us get the deeper meaning. All right, so it uses father. It says fathers. Who's the fathers? Well, they are the authority in the home. Yes, mothers have authority over children, of course. But it is dad who is the last and the final word. God has him in authority in the home. And so this verse is aiming at the fathers. Who are they going to set the tone? They're going to set the rules. Yes, in agreement with mom. Mom works with dad. Not working against each other. But he's the disciplinarian, the end of end. He's going to rule it, dole it out, I should say, make the rules. This is God's order. God, Christ, man, woman, 1 Corinthians 11, and then children come under mother and father. So we got to keep that in mind. The father is being pointed to here as the leader, to set the tone for discipline. The next word is provoke. That word is parorgizo. It means to anger alongside, to enrage. To provoke, to bring to wrath, to rouse to wrath, to exasperate, and then it says anger again. So what this is saying is, this is telling the father to not bring their children to anger or to being enraged because of his authority and how he's enforcing the rules he's teaching. Remember, we said that bad example of a father. Now this is a good example of a father. This is directly aiming at how dads, fathers, the authority in the home, are handling their children, both in good and bad times, right? Good times and discipline times. There's a correct way to bring instruction that's appropriate and to discipline in a loving, godly, firm way, or you can do it in a harsh, mean-spirited, unloving, inappropriate way that can cause children to resent you, be angry, resent authority. Ultimately, they may rebel against God because of how you treated them. Oh, it's their fault they rebelled against God, but you may have a part in it. I'm just reading doing a verse by verse in Matthew. I'm on Matthew 18, where he says, "Be careful lest you cause one of my little ones to stumble." Yeah, be careful, fathers and moms. Don't cause your children to stumble because you are too harsh or inappropriately disciplining them. You don't want to cause them to stumble or be resentful and angry. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So yeah, I mean, we can discipline our children, and if we get mad and call them all kinds of names in front of people, they're going to be angry. It's going to bring them to wrath. All right, let me give you another example. Let's say a son does something wrong and dad catches him. Dad could call him out, embarrass him, punish him in front of all the other children, causing anger and wrath of the son. Or he could take his son on the side in private and do it in an issue between the father, son, and the ultimate father in heaven. Which one's going to provoke anger and wrath, and which one's going to build respect for law and order and show love and care? Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, right? Galatians 5:22. So we must be gentle even how we dole out punishment and correction. That's what this verse is all talking about. The next word is wrath, and that word wrath means the same as that word provoke. All right, same word. Means bring to anger. So this verse again is telling dads, don't make your children angry because of your discipline and how you're handling them. Because see, children are tender roots. Remember the parable of the sower, and the seeds came up, and you get these tender little plants. It's very critical how we properly use discipline with these tender little shoots. We need to make another note here. It's very critical. How we do discipline is critical with all people, all humans, but with children especially, because small children, they lack experience, discernment, they're not fully formed, they lack good decision making. They lack control of their flesh because they're probably not born of God by the indwelled spirit. They are tender little plants that can easily be broken and damaged by discipline done inappropriately. Let me give you an example. We used to have a homestead, all you Titus II ladies that have gardens. Take a small little tomato plant and you plant it outside and it starts leaning over and you want to prop it up. You know what? If you don't do it correctly and you do it a little bit too harsh, you're going to snap that little tomato plant right off. You're going to break it. You're going to ruin it because you weren't gentle enough with your correction. But you take an older tomato plant. It's got about an inch round vine on it. That thing can sit there and sway in the wind and it hasn't broken yet. And you put a stake in the ground. You can move it around and you can get it firmly back in place. You don't have to be quite as gentle with that. Why? Because it's mature. It's been through more things. It can take correction more easily. I hope that makes sense. Some of you that have gardening experience, maybe you'll get that. So the next sentence in this verse really gives us the recipe how we correct what we're talking about and how we have good discipline with children as to not bring them to anger or wrath, but to bring them up in nurture and admonition in the Lord, it says. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I think this really means that correct discipline is done in the spirit and not the flesh. Remember, the flesh outside of God will lead to our damnation, but if we walk in the spirit, we're not condemned. Same thing with raising children, same thing with husband and wife relationships, same thing with brother and sister or brother in relationships. We must walk in the spirit, not the flesh. We'll mess it all up in the flesh, right? Anger and flesh is a very, very bad combination. I know. I came to Christ with a very, very bad temper. Not abusive temper, where I would hurt my wife or hurt others, but that was all in my past. I used to fight when I was a teenager, long before I was married. I used to fight. But now my anger was a fleshly anger where I would just do things that were totally inappropriate, say things that were totally inappropriate. Praise God, it was never physical anger. Still not appropriate. And so I know well, anger and flesh never go good together. We got to get in the spirit. So let's look at the key words of this verse. Nurture. Paideia. It means correct, instruction, train, chasten. So the goal, you got to remember, is to bring up in holiness and virtue these young children, to bring them to adulthood and to maintain a good biblical relationship with them as you're their father figure. Fathers, dads, yeah. You're to be, as Peter said, an example. That means tupos. They want to look at you and see an image of the Father in heaven. So we can train these children up in appropriate, biblical, loving, firm ways, or we can train them up by harsh ways, not in the nurture, and cause to bring them wrath and anger upon them and upon ourselves. Quick story. I used to train, when I was unregenerated, I used to train wild horses. They actually rounded them up out in the western parts of America. We would adopt them, and then we would train them. Some people would train them with a process called breaking them. They used harsh, more violent means. Tie their feet together, ride on them while they're raging, do all kinds of harsh means to break the horse's will. Then they could train them to be saddle-ridden. I used to use a method called gentling. Gentling took a lot longer, and it had me gain their trust and respect over time, to eventually, one day I could put a saddle on their back and get on, and they never would throw me off. Other ways, people throw a saddle on, get on them, the horse is terrified, jumping all over the place. Breaking versus gentling. I know that's talking about animals and horses, but we can use the same concept with children. We don't want to break them like that tender little shoot and tender little plant. We want to gentle them into right correction in the Lord and in your rules for your home, which ultimately do reflect the rules of God. Amen. So the next word, admonition of the Lord. Nousia in the Greek. This means calling attention to, mild rebuke or warning and admonition. All right, so this nurturing we do is to be done in and through and about God's word, and it informs them of the standard of God, and it informs them of the goodness of God and the severity of God. So as you're supposed to be the image of God, fathers, mothers, authority figures, you want to show them goodness when they're doing good, and then when they need correction, firmness. Sometimes it needs to be much more severe depending upon the child. I understand that. So that's what that means, admonition, admonishment. It's a gentle process of nurturing with sound, firm instruction in God's doctrines and the rules of your house. All of this, what it does, this lays a firm foundation for them to peaceably grow up, not in rebellion, to then see and understand the depths of God's word and his ways, repent, be born again, and then follow Christ into the kingdom of God and gain eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? We don't want to raise up angry, wrathful children. We want to raise up godly, holy, obedient people looking for the kingdom of God because of what mom and dad have spoken to them, what brothers and sisters have spoken to them. Isn't that awesome? Then when instruction or the rod or any other correction is needed, oh yeah, it's got to be done. It can be brought with the Spirit, with wisdom, not anger, not harsh ways, not mean words. They're going to bring out wrath and anger. So the correction is always because we love you. The admonishment is always because we love you. The rebuke is always because we love you. Sometimes rebuke is used for brothers and sisters, and I have to tell them, I have to do this because I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't care and spend any of my time on you, and I'd let you go off in your sin. Because I love you, I have to call you to repentance. So the goal is always, as everything in the Christian life, Christ came to redeem us. Redemption. The goal is to redeem your children. Redeem them from their false ways. Redeem them from their bad rule-keeping. Redeem them from their rebellious spirit. Does that make sense? I hope it does. We don't want to bring out their anger. We want to redeem them with appropriate disciplinary action. Imagine this. What if you're driving down the road and the police pulled you over for a minor traffic violation? Let's say your taillight's out. What if the police dragged you out of the car, threw you on the ground, and then wrote you a ticket? I have a question. Would you have a little anger and wrath against the police? Because it's like, why did they bring such force? I just need that ticket and I'll get the problem fixed. I know that's a little over dramatized, but you get my point. If your son or daughter does something wrong and you eviscerate them with the word, or you bring swift corporal punishment upon them quickly, this can bring out wrath and mistrust and anger. You don't want that. You don't want that at all. We must always bring the appropriate, proper discipline based on what the issue is, with loving control, not the flesh, not anger. That's very important. So let's finish this up. This verse we looked at, Ephesians 5. What was it? Hold on. No, it was Ephesians 6, right? 6:4. Let's finish up by looking at the other verses that are just ahead of that. All right? Let's look at Ephesians 6, 1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what you want to be teaching your children. We do all this because it glorifies and honors God. That's why you need to be doing this. That's why we're doing what we do. And you can even tell them, my parents didn't do this for me, and I ended up in all kinds of sin and bad ways and a lot of destruction. We love you. We want to keep you on the narrow path. That will show them how much you love them. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. All right, we honor godly mothers and fathers. We can't honor sinful, disobedient, rebellious, feminist mothers or fathers. We don't do that. Jesus said he's going to separate you from them. In the New Testament, clearly he came to separate us from those type of parents. But we honor godly mothers and fathers. This verse reminds us that. And verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou may livest long on the earth. So teach your children that obeying God, all right, that obeying God according to God's word over time, over the long distance, this is what's good and beneficial to them. This is what allows them to walk in the kingdom of God. This allows them to have unity with you and other believers. This allows them to stay out of jail from civilian authorities. So that's a beautiful thing. Those verses right ahead of the verse we're talking about really sets the table for what we're trying to do. The ultimate goal, another one, we want children to glorify God by honoring godly parents, not to have anger and wrath over authority, and never to use harsh, misapplied, inappropriate correction or discipline. Again, this lays the groundwork for the laws of God and man to be obeyed and respected so that they don't have to live a life of breaking laws, going to jail, ultimately being chastised by God, or losing their soul because they've rebelled against God completely. There are some other verses that back this truth up. Colossians 3, 20, 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That echoes Ephesians 6. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I like that. That's what I was trying to tell you here. If you use too harsh a punishment on children, you're going to discourage them. That may cause them to do even worse things. It's all about redemption. It's all about encouragement. It's all about love and correction. I think that verse says it all. Let's wrap this up. I want you to remember, parents, you wash a baby or a small child in water, and then you throw the water out, not the baby, right? Right. A clean baby is the goal, and the bath water and the soap is how you get there. Simple, right? Well, if they're a little dirty, you don't bring out a power washer and blast them, do you? No. That would not be appropriate. So you want obedient children, so using good, loving, firm instruction and discipline on them that's appropriate for each instance, this redeems your child, cleans them up according to your rules and the laws of God eventually. This is an appropriate thing to do. The punishment, your rules, is just a means to get them to where you want them to be, God-honoring, parent-honoring, holy. That's just a means. It's like the water and the soap. Many parents make their rules and the punishment too big of the focus, and they miss the whole point, and that is your goal is an obedient child that respects you and authority and God. Kind of think about that. Ponder that if that's not maybe out of kilter in your mind and in your ways. I know if children are more rebellious, your rules and your discipline has to be brought more often, but hopefully you can head that off by doing it God's way and appropriately. Like God's law that was given for us, it was put there as a guide to show us our need and our sin. Right? That's what it was. And unless we willingly break it over and over and over in total rebellion and disregard, it's not the main focus of the Father if we're trying to obey. Saints who love and strive for the kingdom of God with a heart to obey, this is pleasing to the Father. 1 John says that. It pleases him for his children to walk in the truth. That's the goal, and his focus is obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience has always been God's desire for mankind. Remember the garden? Adam and Eve, you get all of this. Just don't touch that tree. They couldn't listen. And God had to appropriately bring in discipline and rule. So that should be your focus as parents. That should be your focus. The goal is the obedient, godly, respectable child. And the rules and punishment is the means to get them there. Imagine this. If your children never misbehaved and never broke your rules, would your rules even be a focus anymore? Nope. Once they know the rules and they don't disobey them, kind of like driving your car, as I use that example. Once you know the rules of the road, you drive and it's pretty much a given. You know the rules, you keep the rules, the police don't stop you, you're good to go. I haven't had a speeding ticket in 35 years. Yeah, but when you break the rules, then they got to be applied. The punishment and the discipline. So keep that in mind. Obedient children is the goal for God's glory. Now, we know all children are going to misbehave, some more than others. So we use the rules and the discipline to seek that goal out. We don't make up rules and discipline and make those more important than the goal. We lose sight of the goal. It's like witnessing the gospel just to witness it. If we lose sight of the goal, it's to redeem people to the gospel, redeem people to Christ, to see them repent and be made new. The goal is always got to be kept in our vision first. Then we use all these other things to reach the goal. Kind of like loving God is our first goal. Then all these rules and laws that he gave us, we keep. If we start putting the rules and the laws first, we might forget about loving God. I know we love him by obeying him, but the love comes before the obeying. You can't just obey out of an impure heart. You got to be transformed by the gospel. Last thing, like the car example, if you're driving and you go to miss a small object in the road and you do a minor correction, that's good. That's like appropriate discipline. But what happens if you overcorrect? All you who drive know. You overcorrect. What do? You swerve, you go in a ditch, and you crash. That's how most people crash. They go to miss a dog or a deer, and they overcorrect their car, and they crash. If they would cover their brake and do a slight adjustment, they'd be just fine. That's how we need to be with children. Appropriate discipline, instruction in the Word of God and the rules of your house, never in anger or wrath, in spirit and in love, and you will go a long way with your children. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I like that verse. I hope this has all edified you. Don't let your child discipline be brought in anger and wrath that will produce anger and wrath in your children, but seek it out rightly in the spirit, in love, in firm boldness, sound doctrine. Make sure you keep sight of the goal, raising up godly, holy, obedient children that are loving and respectful of you, loving and respectful of God. This will help their transition to become born-again saints and enter into the kingdom of God. I hope that helps you out, parents. I kind of enjoyed doing that. I did not have the honor or blessing to raise my children as a born-again believer. My children were all gone before I was even born again. But because I did raise children, because I made so many mistakes, because I have been studying God's Word for 40 years, and I have been in ministry for about 15 years, I can bring all this together, and I think I can still give young parents coming up some good guidelines. Test me to the Word of God. It's the ultimate authority. Pray about it. Shoot us an email. Let me know I can help you in the faith. We love you all. Don'tperish.com. All the resources there. Adding to it every day as we're out street preaching the gospel, making disciples, witnessing Christ crucified. That's the goal, that we're all following Christ in biblical obedience and holiness. How you get your children there should not be in anger and wrath. We love you all. Have a great day. May God be praised.